All right, episode 3 of the Reporter's Corner. Really fun one today. This is Jared Rubato, your co-host with the Bemidji Pioneer. With me again, co-host Trent Singer from Sioux Falls Live. Trent, how are we doing?
Doing great, man. That was this is an awesome chat, and I think if you're a Northern fan, you're really going to enjoy this. I think even if you're a Michigan Tech fan, you're really going to enjoy this. If you're a fan of the CCHA, you're going to enjoy this because Dave Chiak is full of stories and he's full of colorful commentary about his career. Just an absolute treat. And we really appreciate him taking the time to talk with us. Yeah, we talked a little bit about everything. I mean, we talked about him growing up in Manitoba. We talked about, his playing career with the Humboldt Broncos in the Saskatchewan Junior League, and then into his time with Northern as a player. He won a national championship in 91, which is a big, obviously, jumping pad for his whole career in a lot of ways, because then he went into the coaching ranks, coached for 10 years as an assistant at Northern, his alma mater, and then had an 8-year stint in Alaska at Anchorage, and really, really kind of came to learn about the challenges in coaching at the college level during that time. And of course, then he had a quick stint with the Toronto Maple Leafs as a scout, and then two stints as an associate head coach in Western Michigan and St. Cloud. And if Dave puts this on to listen to it, I don't mean to bring it up again, but that's 32 years in the coaching ranks for Dave Chiak. And he is now back at his alma mater. He is one of two new coaches in the CCHA, and man, what a job he's done, Jared. I mean, we could talk even just a little bit about that right now. Like, to get a roster together is just unbelievable, I think, at this juncture. I believe he was hired at the end of June. Is that correct? Am I right in that? To assemble a team is just unbelievable, man.
Yeah, and you know, we get into a little bit about, you know, how that team came to be, how much college hockey coaching has changed in those 32 years, and talked a little bit about the CHL players, talked a little bit about Tanner Latch, a guy who played 8 games last year and has 8 career games, who was named their captain. So really, really fun chat with Dave Chiak. This was recorded before their first weekend of games out in Colorado College. So, you'll be hearing this after. There was a little bit of previewing and a little bit about the, their exhibition series against Michigan Tech, but we didn't get Chiak until after, or until before they played Colorado College. So, really fun. Thank you to Dave and all the people from Northern for helping us set this up. And, give it a listen. All right. Episode 3 of the Reporter's Corner. We have Dave Chiak, who, you know, one of the two new coaches in the CCHA this year. He went back to his alma mater at Northern Michigan. Dave, thank you so much for joining us today. How's it going? Heading into the first week into the regular season. Just let's start there. How are the boys feeling?
You know, first of all, thanks for having me, guys. Always a pleasure. No, it's been going good. Obviously, everybody knows how new our team is with all the fresh faces and all the 15 freshmen. But I really liked what our leadership group has done in such a short period of time. Everything has been culture-based, and they've done a great job of bringing the kids tighter together and meshing together. And our expectations have always been just kind of get better every single day. And the guys have been doing a great job of that. Last weekend was a good indication of some of our progress against a very good Michigan Tech team. So I thought we took a stride forward in that game, that exhibition game, and that should help prepare us for this weekend against a real tough opponent. CC is going to be probably in the NCAA tournament. So our guys are excited. It's an opportunity for them to kind of prove themselves a little bit, continue to grow, and we're excited for them as a staff. So anxious to get out, and we leave out tomorrow and fly out Thursday morning, and our focus is on to do everything we possibly can to have a competitive game on Friday.
Yeah, Coach, I mean, just kind of from a personal standpoint, you know, these last several months must have been just incredibly busy for you and your staff, as you guys basically had to assemble almost entirely from scratch in a matter of months. I mean, but you did it, and there's 28 players on this team, and I think that's an accomplishment in itself, a full roster essentially. Can you walk me through just kind of how you guys were able to pull that off?
Yeah, you know what, I got that question a lot, and you know, obviously you guys know I got hired late, and my first priority was to get a staff in place and try to get some players along the way. And the difficult part was finding hockey players in July. Not too many coaches have to worry about that. So we found, I think, 22 guys or 24 guys, whatever it was, to field the roster of 28. And basically, it was just time-consuming. As I've told everybody, you're on the phone 12 to 15 hours a day, talking to agents, talking to coaches you know, talking to kids that maybe you know a little bit too. And we found a group that, you know, there's some guys in the portal that might have been not utilized a whole lot in their previous spot. And there are some other guys that were actually committed to Division III programs, but they wanted the opportunity to play Division I. So there's also some other guys that were probably overlooked in some junior A programs that we were able to watch some video on. So through the whole process, we've got kids that were super excited that were jumping through the phone for an opportunity, because that's all we have here is opportunity to get playing minutes right off the hop at a great program with history and tradition with great facilities. So I think we ended up, like I said, getting 24 players in roughly three and a half weeks. So certainly don't want to go through that again, but I think the benefit and the reward is, God, these guys are excited. They're coming to work every single day. They love the facilities. They want to be here for the right reasons. They're grateful for the opportunity. And again, that's all you can ask for a coach at this period of time.
And I think if there's something that kind of stuck out from, you know, during the media day session is you mentioned that, you know, this is an opportunity for a lot of players to kind of get a second life in college hockey, at least at the Division I level. You know, just talk about the urgency you see from some of those players that were maybe granted a second chance to play at this level that were thinking they weren't going to, you know, that late in the summer.
Yeah, you don't get these second chances too often, do you? So, and like I said, and when I started calling them, and they're from different institutions or they're available, they didn't know where they're going to go. When I got the call, they were grateful. And I go, you know, I said, do your homework. Obviously on us, as we're doing on you, we want kids that are excited, that want to be here, and they're motivated. And they get, you know, some of them got a chip on their shoulder. They're hungry. They want to prove they're a better player than maybe people foreseen them to play. And like I said, that everybody's going to be given an opportunity. So those first few weeks, everybody's trying to make an impression for the new coach and staff. And they have, all of them have. Everybody's going to have to contribute, and that's been part of our culture. Every man counts. And I think they've been galvanized through this whole process. Now, are we going to be hit with adversity? Absolutely. We've spoke about that. How are we going to handle that? Because there's going to be a lot of ups and downs. But so far, the guys are trending in the right direction. The first couple of weeks, there was nerves in place. There wasn't a whole lot of execution in practice because of the nerves. Everybody's going a million miles an hour. And then once we got some systems in place, they got to know each other, they got to know us, then you started to see some more growth and development. And I really like what I've seen this last week and a half with our team.
Well, Coach, I want to get to know you a little bit. I mean, you were born in Flin Flon, Manitoba, grew up in Brandon, Manitoba. I mean, what can you tell me about you and kind of where your love of the game began, really?
Well, it's kind of giving me the backstory. I'm surprised you actually remember Flin Flon, Manitoba. Not too many people know Flin Flon is, so that's way up north there. Yep. But my dad was actually a hockey coach and a teacher, and he went to school at the University of North Dakota, played JV back in the day there, so he got his undergraduate, and then he's from Manitoba originally, so his first teaching job was way up north in Flin Flon, Manitoba, where they used to give isolation pay for teachers. And so we went up there for 2 years, and I was born up there. Then he went back to North Dakota, got his master's, and then we were actually his first coaching job, a teaching job, or second one was in Devil's Lake, North Dakota. So that's where I actually learned. He coached hockey there in outdoor rinks in North Dakota. We used to live in Devil's Lake for 8 years. And then he went back to Manitoba as a superintendent of the school divisions up there. And that's where I started to play a majority of my youth hockey. And obviously got to learn my love of the game first on the outdoor rinks in Devil's Lake, North Dakota, then my youth hockey, which was highly competitive, obviously, as you all know, in Canada. And then moved on to Notre Dame, Saskatchewan in Wilcox there. Graduated from there and then Humboldt and then went on to Northern Michigan University. So been across the globe a little bit to get to where I have been, but it all started in Brandon, Devil's Lake, and Flint Flon.
Yeah, and you know, I want to touch on your stint in Humboldt too, because you had 101 points, you know, the year before you went to Northern. I would imagine that's kind of where your recruiting process started. Walk through me how you know, you ended up at Northern and when that process started, kind of finding Coach Comley to play for.
Yeah, good question. You know what? The process started a little bit at Notre Dame, Saskatchewan, and at the time it was North Dakota. Duluth and Northern Michigan that were tracking me, talked to some other schools and kind of went through the process, started at Notre Dame, played my first year, rookie year at Humboldt, and my last year there, obviously had a very good year. So I had to make a choice. And, you know, there's a lot of good schools, and it came down to, actually, like I said, my dad went to North Dakota. So Gino Gasparini was coaching. And then Walt Kyle had a relationship with the family because my dad used to do hockey schools with him in Detroit Lakes, Minnesota. So there's a kind of a built-in relationship. But at the time, they recruited, 9 or 10 guys out of Western Canada to go play in Northern Michigan. And it was a smaller group at North Dakota. And I just felt I would have a better opportunity, felt a little bit more wanted at Northern Michigan. I think at the time, Gino Gasparini was an excellent coach, excellent recruiter. I think he offered me books and pencils, but I decided to take the full ride at Northern Michigan. Worked out great.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about Northern. Your senior season, obviously, is the one everybody wants to talk about. And I'd like you to hear your perspective on it a little bit. You know, Northern won its first and only national championship that year in 91. And for you personally, how much of a defining experience was that for you, both as a player and really as a future coach?
Yeah, you know what? Because we won the league championship, too. We beat, I can't remember who it was, my sophomore year. Used to play at the St. Paul Civic Center with a clear plexiglass ward. So we won the league championship, and back then only 12 teams made the national tournament. We were one of them, obviously, but we lost at home to Providence, and that kind of set the tone with some of our classmen. And my junior year was just okay, but the senior year, we had a great leadership group. I think there was 8 of us, and we stayed around in the summer, and we knew what we had coming back. And what a special run, what a special experience, and to do it your senior season, and, you know, to be the first team to win your first national championship, it just sets you up for heroes for life in this community. And it's obviously special around here, and special hearing guys to continue to talk about it. Even though I've been 19 years removed, everybody still talks about that. And so proud of that accomplishment with a great bunch of guys, talented bunch of guys. We're still a tight-knit group. And obviously the coaching staff deserves a lot of credit for putting a talented team together and getting the job done against a very good Boston University team.
Yeah, and you know, you also said that this is a sport that's taken you around the globe. And that's a literal statement because you spent a year playing for the Murrayfield Racers in Scotland. You know, I don't know how many people relate Scotland to being much of a hockey place, but just talk about that experience and how much fun it was to get to play overseas for a little bit.
It's awesome. I recommend it to any player. You know, obviously we all have aspirations to play in the NHL, and I had an opportunity to play in the NHL with Calgary Flames farm team at the time. And then they got a late call. This was just after we won it. And it's called the British Super League. So you got 2 or 3 teams in Scotland. You got teams in England. You got teams in Cardiff. And I think it was a 12-team league. And the more I got talking about it, you know, if I had to go in the AHL, it was 60 to 70 games. It was a grind league. And or do I play 40 games? and just play Friday, Saturdays and get paid cash and see a little bit of the world. It was going to be difficult for me to play in the NHL. So they actually paid for your education classes if you wanted to continue your education, which I did. So I got to see all the British Isles, got to, you know, visit places like Amsterdam, Ireland, stuff like that. So it was a cultural thing for me. And I would take that experience back. It was unbelievably eye-opening for me and a great experience. So I tell every young man, if you get a chance to go over to Europe, play anywhere just for a year or two, I think you come back much more cultured. And because once you get married and have kids, it's hard to get back to do these type of vacations, as you all know, guys. So just an awesome, awesome time. I think Edinburgh is one of the best cities in the world. But like you said, Scotland's not known for its hockey. It's more rugby and soccer and snooker. But they do. It is getting bigger. They are growing the game. But just an unbelievable experience for me.
You know, then your coaching career kind of gets started. You came back to NMU as a GA, and that's where it really began for you as a coach. Do you recall a singular moment that you wanted to get into coaching, or was it kind of always a foregone conclusion for you?
Well, I was going to go, and I had my degree. And I was working towards my degree because I could have went back to Europe. I hadn't finished my degree. I got hurt. And Rick called me and said, "Hey, Dave, why don't you come back here and help me out coaching as a GA?" I said, "Great." And I got to work with the guys on a day-to-day basis. And I've always loved hockey. Obviously, wanted to play as long as I could, but I also didn't want to be there when I was 30 years old with no degree. So I came back, loved it, said, "Yep, I want to be," it was either I was going to be a coach or a fireman. I was going to go to fire college in Vancouver, British Columbia. So after I graduated that year as a GA, I interviewed for two or three jobs, coaching positions in Western Canada, where I'm from. Never got a sniff. So I was probably end of June, first week of July, that I was all set to go to fire college and be a fireman, fight forest fires out there. And I got a late call. I was rooming with my roommate, who was the assistant coach here at Northern. He got a call from a guy in Kimberley, British Columbia, and said, "Hey, we've got a head coaching position in the Rocky Mount Junior Hockey League," which was a junior A tier two program. And he said, "I'm not interested, but I got a guy that's looking." Well, lo and behold, one of my good friends, Scott Beattie, and Kevin Scott, who I played with here at Northern, they're from Kimberley. And they knew the ownership group, and I got the job 3 days later, and that's how I got into coaching. So I became a head coach and a GM at the age of 25 or 26.
Wow.
Got thrown in the fire right away. My roommate hadn't got that call, I'd be fighting forest fires in the Okanagan Valley there in Kelowna. So that's how I got started.
You're kind of becoming the king of getting these last minute opportunities here, huh?
Yep, exactly. But all things happen for a reason, guys. You know that. And then had a good year, went to the BC League, which was the best league in Canada at the time, in Merritt, and then a job opened at Northern, and he was here for 10 years. And it's really worked out. I'm a real big believer in things happen for a reason. And, you know, I got to work with Andy Murray, obviously, Western Michigan, Brett Larson at St. Cloud, worked for Toronto Maple Leafs, and all that has made me a better coach, a better recruiter, and a better person to – give ourselves the best chance here at rebuilding Northern.
And I, you know, we want to ask you too about coaching with the Maple Leafs. But first, I mean, 8 years coaching Anchorage in the old WCHA, and that was such a competitive league, top to bottom. You know, just talk to me about that experience and how it kind of molded you as a coach a little bit.
No, yeah, I forgot about that. That was probably my most learning experience I ever went through, and. You know, the reason why I was itching to get a head coaching job, I was a bridesmaid for about three jobs. And that job had opened up. But prior to that, I'd interviewed for the job. And John Hill took it. And I think it was three or four years later, he left to take a job at Minnesota. So that ED, and that's why I tell every young guy to go through an interview process and do the best you can, even though that job might be taken. And I knew John was going to get it. But I did as best as I can. So when he left, within 48 hours, he called and offered me the job. And WCHA was the best league at the time, as you all know, a powerhouse league. And a chance for me to coach in that league and recruit is something I couldn't pass up. And I thought I understood the challenges going in. I was young, maybe 35, 36 years old. But once I got up there, I found out how difficult it was. But I got good kids. Obviously, we didn't have the success we would like to have. I think we had one or two years where we were happy with it, where we made the Final Five after I don't think any team has swept the Minnesota Gophers and Mariucci in the first round of playoffs. We're the only team to do that, I believe. Mm-hmm. And but it made, again, I had to understand the challenges of recruiting, what would make me a better coach, and I had to learn how to fight through adversity. So I think it toughened me up a little bit. It humbled me, and it made me a better person, a better coach, even though there's very difficult circumstances to overcome up there.
You know, then you obviously, like you mentioned, you spent a year as an amateur scout with the Maple Leafs and then ultimately came back to the college ranks as an associate head coach at Western. What is it about college hockey that drew you back in, and what can you sort of tell us about that time with the Maple Leafs?
Well, that was one of the best jobs I had, working for Toronto Maple Leafs. Everything's first class, great people. Working at the NHL level with an original six team was awesome, just awesome. You're meeting with all the top people in the hockey mecca of the world. And I loved it, absolutely loved it. I actually signed a new deal with them as their amateur scout free agent guy. And Andy had lost a couple guys, Andy Murray. I've known Andy since I'm 10 years old because we're basically from the same hometown of Brandon. He's from Souris, which is 10 miles away. And I turned him down twice. And then the last time he lost a guy, and then he called me back. I went for a cup of coffee, and I just think it goes back to what my passion is for coaching. And there's just an opportunity that I couldn't turn down. And I talked to the Maple Leafs, and they just said, Dave, if that's what you want to do, you always have a home to come back to if you want to get back in the scouting industry. And that's all I wanted to hear. And then I went to, obviously, and coached with Andy for 6 years in a great spot and a great program.
Yeah, and you know, I think just on a broad level, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of similarities between working in college hockey and working in pro hockey. But just talk to me about, you know, that relationship and how kind of stepping into pro hockey correlated to moving back to college hockey when you were ready to do that.
Well, it just expands your network of people you know at the highest level. And it gives you, you're working at the highest level players for the amateur draft, the best players in the world for the age bracket, 1 through 7 rounds. So the work and the evaluations that go into that is immense. And so I learned to become a better recruiter, develop a stronger eye at everything that goes in behind selecting a guy like William Nylander, like Dakota Joshua, or some of the guys. Mm-hmm. And that helped me in my recruiting process when I took the job at Western, but also by expanding, you're learning to have friends in other organizations, not just Toronto, whether it's New Jersey, Philadelphia. So when I take the job at Western Michigan, I'm recruiting, I'm calling those guys, and they're watching guys in the USHL. Hey, what do you think of this guy, this guy, this guy? So your evaluations are much, much accurate, in my opinion, and it made me a better recruiter through the experience I gained working for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, so the other thing, too, is just, you know, I know you touched on it a little bit, the last two stops as an associate head coach, you know, 6 years at Western, 4 years at St. Cloud State. You know, how did the past decade really kind of help you prepare to step back into a head coaching role back at your alma mater?
Well, what it takes, obviously, to get to the NCAA, the type of kids you're recruiting, the culture that you have to build, and just how you go in your day-to-day business. Obviously, Andy had an NHL background, and he's demanding and a love for the game and was well-prepared. And then Brent Larson's had great success. He's great at culture, great at messaging. And when I was at, obviously, at St. Cloud, we went to the national championship game 3 years ago, and we went to the NCAA tournament, I believe, 3 years in a row. So you get through that experience and understand that you're recruiting upper echelon players. It starts with the players first and the people they are and what type of culture you need to get to the tournament. And, you know, that holds high value for me. And It gives me a good understanding what we need to do here at Northern.
Coach, when you think back to when you first started coaching in college hockey, and I don't mean to make you feel old here, but that was 32 years ago. Just how much has the job changed and the responsibilities of a coach changed?
Drastic. Recruiting's been majorly changed since when I first started. We basically had the summers off back then. We maybe do a couple home visits in July 1st, but you basically had the summers off. Now there's no time off recruiting wise, and it's only going to get worse because of the major junior rule that may go in effect. So it's a 12-month process to recruit now. There's no days off. You're always, every day is a recruiting day. And it's a dogfight now. There's more teams involved than there was back then. And everybody's looking at acquiring talent. And it, like I said, it's a 12-month job. In the summers, you're going to all the USHL camps. You're going all to the USA camps in Buffalo. And then you're starting all over again in August to watch some of the exhibition games and some of the junior A programs that have exhibition games in August. So there's not, I think there's actually less family time. You got to pick and choose when you can take your vacations. And then the coaching aspect is different too. You're dealing with a different generation of players where you have to, it's more about managing than it is coaching, in my opinion. It's building relationships with them and managing them the right way to get the most out of them. And that has drastically changed. So you have to evolve as a coach. You have to adapt as a coach. Through the process that I went over the last 32 years, as you pointed out, I got to work with different types of coaches and learn from it, but also learn from the players as well, what it takes to motivate them. And like I said, it's relationship based, and it's a lot of explaining and managing these guys as to giving them the why they have to do this in a drill, why they have to play like this in a game. So I think I've been able to do that, and that's the fun part. These relationship building is really fun with these guys. I got three kids myself, and it's just a different type of generation that you or I haven't grown up with.
Yeah, and you touched on it a little bit too, but it's shaping up to be a pretty formidable week with the NCAA ruling on CHL players. And I know every coach has a stance on it. You know, where do you stand on CHL players coming into college hockey?
Yeah, I've said all along, I've been on the fence a little bit because I've been on both sides of it. I'd have to give you a to see how it plays. Nobody knows how this is going to play out. Is it going to help college hockey or is it going to hurt it? I don't know. Everybody thinks it's going to expand the talent pool that we can select from. Is that going to help parity in college hockey? Or depending where in the food chain, if you're high in the food chain, does it help them? So I actually don't know. But we're going to require a heck of a lot more work from our staff to cover the globe even more. And I think the next challenge is if we got enough work on our plate to coach and develop these kids while we're here. But at some point you think, okay, can we hire staff, scouting staffs now? Because I think it's going to have to get to that at some point. To scout the globe, you should be able to hire some scouts. Obviously, at this point, we can't. But that's a lot of work. It's going to be more work to cover the globe this way. Major junior kids are going to become eligible, and some of the Europeans that are playing pro too.
Yeah, just what a wild time in college hockey, just in general. With it seems like every year, every week, this kind of stuff happens. But I want to talk a little bit about Marquette and the UP, because I love to hear you talk about it. Every interview I've seen with you, you love the area. You're a self-professed Uper, even though you're from Manitoba. I mean, besides the people, what do you love the most about Marquette? Because I know you're going to say the people first and foremost.
Yeah, have you guys ever been here?
No,
I haven't. I have not. I'd love to.
Well, if you guys get here, and the best time to come, obviously, the summer and the fall, it's a hidden gem up here. It's beautiful. You got beach sands. You got the biggest freshwater lake in the world with Lake Superior. Lots of hiking trails. Obviously, if you're a fisherman, hunterman, it's one of the best places to go. And in the wintertime, if you like snowmobiling, it's got that. It's got skiing. So it's a smaller town that it's becoming quite attractive for tourists to come visit in the fall and obviously during the course of the summer. And it's just growing every year, especially since COVID. A lot of people that work remotely, that make a lot of money down in with, say, Chicago or downstate Michigan near Detroit. They're all coming up here, so they don't have to deal with the traffic. And all they have to deal with, they still make the same amount of money, and they get to live in the beautiful Upper Peninsula, enjoy their quality of life, because time stands still up here. But the only downside is they're jacking up the housing prices right now.
Yeah, and I know we touched on it a little bit earlier too, but you, now that you got the guys in the program, the 28 guys that you're going to go to war with this year, I'm curious to know what does a Dave Chiak team look when it's on the ice? What do you want this program to look like once you guys get the ball rolling?
Well, you know what? Really good question. I did something today. The best way I can put it is right now, like, we went into the Michigan Tech game, and nobody knew really how we were going to do. Obviously, they're a very good team. They've been to the NCAA 3 years in a row. Joey's done an incredible job. They're picked second this year. For a lot of our guys, I think 20 of them have never been in that building. I dressed 22. 20 of them never been in that building. I think 19 of them, they said that was the biggest crowd they've ever played in front of. So it was eye-popping for them. But after the game, like in the second, third period, where I thought we took it over 5-on-5, and you could talk to Joe about that, what everybody noticed is, A, how hard we competed, how hard we worked, and our puck pressure and forechecking was really good, and we didn't give up until the end. So if you're saying what our team should look like right now, that's it. We're going to compete hard every single night, give everything you have. We're not going to back down, and we're going to battle to the end. And I think that's a real good starting point for our program.
We've already talked about, too, obviously you do bring back almost an entirely new team, but there are, you know, there are four returning players, and those other 24, they got the chance to see what the Michigan Tech Northern Michigan rivalry looks like last weekend. I mean, albeit it was in a exhibition setting, but, you know, was there anything you tried to instill in these new guys about that rivalry before they took the ice?
You know, I think they knew about it. We didn't hype it up too much. Until they actually got in the building and saw the crowd, they go, "Oh, this is real. This is real."
Right.
Like, you could see our guys were a little nervous in the first period with the puck. But they also said at the end, I said, "What'd you think?" They go, "Man, that's cool. This is awesome." So, and that's what you want. That's what college hockey is all about. You want full house venues. These rivalry games are unbelievable. And ours, not a lot of people know about our rivalry with Tech and Northern Michigan. It is a heated rivalry. It gets heated. And for an exhibition game to be full house, that's pretty good. So those guys got to experience it right away. And that's all part of the, you know, you want your guys at the end of the day have a great student-athlete experience over the course of the 4 years that they're here. So that was great. I thought a great way to start the season, have an exhibition against Tech versus, say, a Canadian team or another team. We threw them right in the fire. Now they know what to expect on any given night when they're playing college hockey, what they do, what they got to do and put on the line in order to come up with a win.
Yeah, and I also wanted to ask you about one player in particular. Tanner Latch is one of the more interesting players in this league, considering he had 7 goals in 8 games last year, and then he goes down for the season. And he's one of the four returners back, and he was named your captain. Just – what made him a fit to wear the C this year for your team?
Yeah, even he was one of the guys. Like, he only had 8 career games, and he's their captain. That might be a first for any program. but he was voted by the guys, almost unanimous. So he carries a weight in the locker room. He's got our full support. He supports us, and he doesn't say a whole lot, but when he does, everybody listens, and that's what you want out of a captain. So we're real excited about him. For us, you know, he's a really good player. For him, he just needs a season where he needs to be healthy and get a full year under his belt, and he's going to be a good player for us in the long run. He's still got 2, maybe 3. He's been banged up a few times, but I can't remember. It's 2 or 3 years we have with him in terms of eligibility.
For sure. Yeah, Coach, you know, we just got a couple more for you. Just some one-hitters and, you know, just some quick stuff. I mean, stuff to just sort of pick your brain a little bit. You know, 1992, I think, is when you first really started getting into coaching. So that's, you know, that's a little bit of time. And during that time, you know, who are some of the most notable players that you've gotten the opportunity to coach?
Yeah, there's a lot of them, I guess. I could go through all the different programs there, but, you know, guys like JP Vigée here, Mike Santarelli, those guys went on to NHL. One of the, you know, I think most competitive kids to come through here was a kid by the name of Buddy Smith. He was 5'8", buck 43, but just a really, really good player for us. If you look at his stats, he's really good. Nathan Oystrick was an All-American, obviously. Got a cup of coffee up in the NHL. We had good players here. Jay Beagle up at Alaska, won a cup with Washington. Kevin Clark was another good player up there. Then you got the guys at Western Michigan. Ronnie Adderd was a good player. Ethan Frank was a good player. Wade Allison, a lot of Hugh McGing, a lot of guys there that were really good players. And there's a lot you can put together. You can't pick out every single one, but I'm just grateful for the opportunity I was given at those schools to coach a lot of these players that bought in and gave us the best effort every single night.
And last one we got for you, but it's kind of on the same playing, you know, the same level, is who's the most talented player that you've ever gotten to play with?
Well, one comes to mind. He probably a big reason why I got a scholarship and I scored 60 goals in junior. You guys can look up his stats as Billy McDougal. He might have been one of the best junior A players to ever play, Billy McDougal. He was supposed to come with me to Northern Michigan, but he didn't get eligible, so he went right to pro hockey. And you can look up his stats. He's broken a lot of pro records and European records. So Billy McDougal was one, Scott Beattie, Dallas Drake, Dean Antos, Jimmy Hiller. Obviously, those are the guys that I played at Northern here that were great college players and went on to have great pro careers.
That's great. Our listeners are going to have to look up a lot of these names. But thank you so much for your time today, Dave. This was awesome. And, it's, again, super impressive, the job that you guys did and, you know, filling out a roster, finding players that are buying into what you guys are doing. And, best of luck this year. It's, fun year ahead. And hopefully more beyond that as well.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. I think the one request I'll have for you, because people, they don't know a lot about the Upper Peninsula. It's a special place, not just here in Marquette. You got Lake Superior. You guys got to make an effort to come to one of our games here in Marquette.
I want to, man. I've been talking about that for the past year, I think, now.
Yeah, well, you can come up in the summertime. I'll buy you a Diet Coke.
Sounds good, Coach.
We're going to hold you to that. So,
okay.
Well, thank you so much, guys, for your time. Take care.
You betcha. Have a good one.
All right. Once again, thank you to Dave Shayak for joining the show. Fantastic guest. Subscribe to the CCHA show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from. And subscribe to the CCHA on YouTube. Follow each of us on Twitter, at Trent Singer, at Jared Rubato BP. You can check out our work at thebemidjipioneer.com and SiouxFallsLive.com.